First Thessalonians 4, verses 9 through 12, these are God's words. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So at the beginning of this chapter, he started talking to them about the will of God for them, which is sanctification. And the big part of that growth in holiness that belongs to entering into marriage in the right way. Now, he moves on from that which is urgent and intense, and many people feel the need of it, holiness in those sorts of things, to the everyday nitty-gritty of holiness and Christian love. And Christian love was something they already had, and they already knew in their hearts, because they were loving all of the brethren in all Macedonia. He doesn't mention exactly what this was. It may have included collecting and sharing wealth with them, and it probably included sending evangelists as well, if we combine what we read about the Thessalonian church in Acts with what we indeed have already read, even in 1 Thessalonians, that they wished for all to know the gospel which they had received as the word of God. Well, sometimes it's easy to love those who are in other places and not to love well those whom the Lord has placed nearer you. And so he wants them to abound more and more, to increase more and more in this love. Verse 10, even though they are already loving many brethren in a good way. And he gives these three instructions, that you aspire to lead a quiet life, that you mind your own business, and that you work with your own hands. And these three commands, he actually kind of uses ironic language. He uses words that tackle the excuse that a person can give himself for not following the Lord's commands in each one. And we find out in the first command that brotherly love is against hysteria, against always being up in arms about something, or always having some crisis to rile everyone up about. And in the second place, that brotherly love is against nosiness, always being asking about and engaging in other people's lives for the purpose of trying to change the way they are doing something or make comment on the way they are doing something. And then in the third place, that brotherly love is against laziness. And not the sort of laziness that is inactive, but the sort of laziness that says, I'm too busy with other things to do my ordinary work and supply for me and my family's needs. So in the first place, brotherly love is against hysteria. He says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life. He uses a word that means ambitious. People who are ambitious are often trying to influence the world. And so he uses the word that means ambitious, and he says, you should be very ambitious to be quiet. In other words, channel all that energy into not riling people up, into restraining your own tendency to want to be dramatic. You know, someone says, well, I just have a dramatic personality. And you say, yes, that's called original sin. And loving others means not being dramatic. It means being ambitious to be quiet. That's what the apostle by the Spirit here says. So you may feel in your heart, especially when there's a situation, ongoing situation with people in a social circle, or there's something in your own private life or in the community that could be something that gets a lot of attention, and you like that attention, you may have within your heart or your mind the temptation to plan for how you're going to talk to people about it. Just resist the desire to rile people up, or the tendency to rile people up. Not everyone has it, but it's unloving to do that to them. It is not a loving thing to keep people always on edge, always stressed out, making them always feel like there's some new thing they have to do. Our God has given us ordinary means and ordinary work and ordinary life, laboring for his glory in ordinary things framed by worship morning and evening, day by day, and then all day on the Lord's day. And we love one another well by being ambitious to be quiet. So brotherly love is against hysteria or drama. Brotherly love is also against nosiness. They also aspire to lead a quiet life and to mind your own business. And here he uses a word that means to be engaged. Someone who is nosy, not just gossipy, but always probing into what others are doing so that they can make a ton of suggestions as if they are appointed to manage everyone else. They may flatter themselves as saying, well, I'm just a really engaged person. It's too bad everyone else is so passive. They must not care as much as I do, or they must not be as engaged as I am. And the apostle says, yeah, be engaged in your own business. You have such wonderful ideas about the best way to do things. Come up with wonderful ideas about the best way to do your things. And leave other people alone. So, it's against nosiness. And in the last place, it's against laziness. So not only that you aspire to lead a quiet life, and not only that you mind your own business, but to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. God has designed that we would be provided for by labor. It's part of the fall that labor is wearisome by sweat. And if you are not working hard with your own hands, then somebody else is going to have to work with their hands to support you. We'll find out as we move through 1 Thessalonians, and this comes up again in 2 Thessalonians, there were some who thought that the Lord had already come and that the world was in this kind of weird limbo. And there were others who thought that the Lord was coming so imminently that they should just go around and talk about it instead of working to support themselves and to be able to give to others. Eventually, the apostle is going to have to say, he who will not work, let him not eat. You know, they'll figure out that they need to work pretty soon. as they get hungry. But our work is whatever the Lord has given us to do, and one of the ways that we end up lazy is when, instead of paying attention to our own work, we take on a bunch of other things that make our responsibilities start to fall through. It's very unloving to make others, to make yourself dependent upon others when you could have worked and taken care of yourself, and hopefully even be able to be generous with those who can't work. Because we are still in the creation that's bound to corruption and decay, and there are those who are literally, because of opportunity or ability, incapable of working. And so we should each want to work enough that not only can we take care of ourselves and our household functions as a unit, it doesn't mean that each of you have to figure out how to contribute to the grocery budget, but we should work enough that we would not only be able to take care of ourselves, but be able to be generous with others in their time of need, like we learned in the book of Ephesians as well. So there are three things here that the apostle commands brotherly love against: being dramatic or hysteria, being nosy, and being lazy. He says that you be ambitious to be quiet, that you be engaged in your own business, and that you labor with your own hands. And those who love each other in such practical ways will be viewed by outsiders as those who walk properly. They'll be shocked. Here's a people who lack nothing. Remember how in the early days of the church it said, no one had any lack because. And we looked back at how the Lord had told his people before about being generous, and how there would be times even when there were no poor among them. And yet, he also told them that the poor would never cease from the land. So, obviously, they were not going to do it well on a consistent basis. But the church has done it well at times. Did it well in Acts, which we already saw. And the church, the Thessalonian church, here was encouraged that if they do these things well, there would not be lack among them, in verse 12. And that this would be a sign to the world. That they would see that believers are highly functional in this life. That their piety towards God has not made them useless, but more useful to one another than anyone else. So we too should want to be, I don't know how to call it, psychologically, emotionally, psycho-emotionally useful to one another by not being dramatic, and socially useful to one another by not being nosy, and economically useful to one another by working with our own hands. All of these are ways, are areas of life that God is merciful to us, and if we're imitating him in our love for the brethren, there'll be ways that we want to be merciful to others. It's good for us to remember that things like over-dramatic and nosiness and laziness, that these are unmerciful towards others. So love one another well, says the apostle. There's some application to you guys, even in the way that you talk and act about things. Don't be dramatic. Let our house be a quiet house. Let a house be a house where you're ambitious to be quiet. Don't be nosy. If seven people are doing homeschool at one table, there's a temptation to pay more attention to what they are doing than what you are doing. I know some of you may have actually been instructed to help others. That's not being nosy. That's what you were directed to do. But it seems like everyone acts like they're instructed to help others. So watch out for that. And then don't be lazy. Don't find a million side projects to do so that the house gets bogged down by you still having your lessons to do when it comes time to do something else late in the day. Knock it out well. Knock it out early. Do the side projects later after your responsibilities are fulfilled. And your way of having extra to give to others may even be to take on chores or things that mom would have needed help with. Don't be a slave to the chart that says, this job is my job, and then you be like a union person and say, no one else is allowed to do this, this is mine, and I'm not going to do anything else, and I want to touch somebody else's job in the Hakeem Family Union. Work hard with your own hands and help one another rather than requiring others to help you. If everyone brought to the fellowship meal the way mom brings to the fellowship meal, we'd have to buy 6 more tables and, like, go out into the streets of Colombia and gather 200 people to eat the food every week. Make the way work in our house gets done to be like that, with everyone trying to do a triple share instead of just trying to make sure that your tiny little slice gets done and then being exasperated with everyone else. And of course, if you're all doing a triple share, then ain't nobody going to be exasperated with everyone else. We just live in love, which is the point of the passage. Love the brethren and increase in it more and more. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless to us this portion of your word. There are some, Lord, who think that they are being loving, but have really been unmerciful towards your people, and it's so easy for us to identify them in the passage because it describes them so clearly. Help us, Lord, not to read it first in that way. Although we do ask that you would help them to see and understand what real love is, and that your Spirit would produce in them more Christ-like love. But we pray first and foremost that you would help us with the things that we were talking about at the end, and making our home a loving place in the way that the Apostle defines love in this particular text, that we would be quiet and non-dramatic and not nosy, but each of us engaged in our own business, and that we would be diligent with the work of our hands, so that the house would lack nothing but have instead an abundance. We pray that Christ would be glorified by you producing this in us, and that your Spirit, therefore, would take your word, which we have heard with our ears, and now write it on our hearts and shape our lives by it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.